would like to introduce our first speaker. Her name is Glendora, and she is... Glendora from Philly. Here you go.
I'm an addict. My name is Glendora. And I'm only clean today because of a loving God's grace and his oh so tender mercy. I want to thank each and every one of you because you could have went somewhere else and you're here together with us, so we're going to have some fun. I've been nervous about this for a while and I got to let it go. My sponsor taught me well, thank you Kathy, that if I just touch one person, I've done the job God sent me here to do. So you want to know about a little girl grows up, here we go. I grew up in North Philadelphia. If you want to call it a ghetto, that's fine. Do what you do. I grew up in a household of three sisters, a father that would do a drive-by. And what I meant by that, my dad would drive by, throw the money in the house, and keep driving on by. My daddy was a number runner. I don't know, I'm going way back. Daddy was a number runner. And you would think we had money, but we was always broke. And I grew up with two older sisters and one younger sister, and they had that weird middle kid syndrome. And as a little girl, mommy always would encourage us to, like, never take the secrets that's in the house outside the house. And I remember my two older sisters gave me a job. We're talking about a little girl growing up. My mom gave me a job. I'm sorry, my sisters gave me a job, and my job was to tuck under. That was what I would say, tuck under. And I would practice it, tuck under, tuck under. Never understanding what the concept meant until that night I had to use it. And it was one night when it was real dark and my mother's room and my father's room was connected to our little girl's room. And my job was to listen for the creak of the board outside of our bedroom, letting us know that daddy was creeping. And my job was to holler to my two older sisters who had breasts and all that good stuff, tell them to tuck under. And they would flip on their stomach and cover their breasts and squeeze their legs together real tight. And he would come in and he would molest them in front of me. And in my mind, there was something wrong with Glendora because he didn't want me. I wasn't good enough. Daddy didn't like me like he liked him. He touched his special parts and mommy said was special. I wasn't good enough. So the little girl grew up believing that she had to do something in order to be good enough. I grew up fast. I'm sorry, I don't have a long, youthful story. Yeah, we played games and we played jacks and hula hoop. Yeah, the little girl did do those things. But in my mind, I wanted to do what daddy did with them. I wanted to touch a man. I saw them private parts. I knew what they were for. So I wanted to be grown. At 13, I lost my virginity to a 28-year-old man. Harlequin romance lied. I thought it was supposed to be violins playing and bluebirds. I ain't seen none of that. All I got was some reefer blowing up my nose, and that was Tokay wine. And it was over, but what I felt as a little girl was that he removed a barrier between me and love. Follow what I'm saying. For some reason, this little girl had ingrained in her spirit the concept that if you came through my vagina, you would enter my heart. Touch me. I'm pretty, don't you understand? Your touch, sex with you, validated to the world that I was worthy. Do you understand? It didn't matter if you didn't want to stay. All it said to my self-esteem was that you liked me like daddy liked them. Didn't understand that was so wrong, but I grew up with that blind, crazy belief. And I grew up quick, y'all. We don't dwell excessively. I grew up, went through many men. Hit bottom using because the men weren't enough. There was an emptiness in this little girl. I don't care how old you are, the little girl and the little boy will always be present. And all they yearn for is for us to protect them. But in the streets, it's hard. I worked hard for my money. I worked hard for it, honey. I became a prostitute. It wasn't a choice. I didn't go to college prostitution 101. It was when all everything else was gone. What was there left to sell but me? So I got out there and I made up my own rules of the game. Because the little girl said, no matter what, you got to protect me. And something about active addiction, it allows you the ability to flick on and flick off emotions. Because if it was no way to flick them off, how could I stand you crawling over my flesh? How can I do the jobs that I did with you that required no application on my knees, not in prayer, for a minimal amount of money if I had emotions and feelings? Don't get me wrong, they were there at some point. Disgust, dereliction, degradation. I smelled so bad, I don't even know why they even came back. And that many times the guys would stand in circles around me as if I didn't exist, and they would talk about me saying things like, damn, man, she hot. And I thought they meant I was hot. No, they meant I was hot. Hot. Woo, hot. I knew I was hot. And I had a list I would carry around in my dirty jeans pockets. Underwear became a luxury I didn't want to afford. What for? And I turned off the way you would look at me, you quote unquote normal people, when you would see me walking by. And I learned how to not feel in a feeling word. I just existed. I was the animal that you were afraid of in the dark. I honestly believe Dracula truly was my real father. I copped in the dark. I met you in the dark. We had sex in the dark. You left me in the dark. My skin was dark. My life was dark. Darkness. I stayed in it so much that when the light would come on, it'd be like this. No, I can't take all that. It's too much. It's revealing too many things about me. So I stayed stuck out there. I had crabs, gonorrhea, syphilis, chlamydia, trichomonas. I had them all. You could throw them in a pot, shook them up, and just took a dice and said, okay, what is it going to be today? You served. That was me. And I was still stuck on stupid, just trying to get one more, trying to get that first high, feeling like crap, looking like crap, smelled like crap. I would sit down and the wind would come from between my legs, and I was like not understanding, why was these men still paying me money? Feeling like an animal, but too afraid to die, but couldn't live. I searched so hard for a corner to lie down in. My flesh was no longer willing. You men were burning me with cigarettes. You hurt me. The little girl was not protected. I made a lot of bad choices and a lot of bad decisions on the street. I'm not crying foul. I did what I did. I made choices. I stood up out there. I was a true soldier. And I got stuck in the game. Let me tell you something, tricking ain't easy, even in recovery. You would crawl all over my body, but I wasn't there. The spirit was long since dead. There were times when we called them Tom, Dicks, Harrys, whatever, Johns. And they would come up to me and they said, look, I'm tired of the same old position every week. And they had sorting flavors and different types. I remember this guy saying to me once, he said, look, can we do something different? He said, I want an Indian. We transform, you know we do. Hit it. He said he wants. Oh. I transformed. You want an Indian, you ain't say which kind. I thought you meant the kind like Tonto, but whatever. As long as you paid the price to be a part of my game of death. So I hit bottom, y'all. I hit bottom so hard. Understand, by this time, my family's grown up. The little girl inside's under arrest. I'm not allowed to play anymore because in the streets it becomes too real. Playmates, playgrounds, and playthings ain't cool, man, out there. So I hit bottom. And there was no bouncing back. I got to speed up because I want my baby to go. I hit bottom. I went into detox. This is my story. And I came into detox, very unknown of what goes on in there. Just a little girl felt I needed somewhere just to lie down. You see, the night before I got into detox, I remember making that addict's last cry, the one Steven Spielberg has yet captured on motion picture. And you go into it because you're at a point where I don't care how much dope, how much money, how many tricks you got lined up, something inside dies and you just feel you can't go no more and you like this. God, please, can you hear me, Glendora? I hurt so bad, the men burnt me, God, they hurt me. Can you please keep them from hurting me? I want to go home. I don't deserve to live anymore. I'm just dying here. Can you just let me go to sleep? I won't do it anymore. Can you please? I know I've always called you, but you never answered me. This time, God, take me home. 7 days later, God brought me home. Welcome to Narcotics Anonymous. This is home. This is home, the home I yearn for. This is where I wanted to be. I wanted you to, like, take away the bad guys. The little girl wanted you to get the boogeyman away from me. And I was the worst boogeyman out there. So I got into NA. And I came in here, oh my God. I gotta share my story. I came in here in 1986. Woo. And back then they had Kid and Play. Some of y'all might be too young, they might not remember. I had a hot top fade. And if you don't know this, it's a hair that goes straight up with box. But because on the streets I never had the money to take care of my hair, my high top fade was tilted like a leaner tower. So I had a high top leaner. So when I made my first NA meeting, I had some shoes on I had stolen, a coat I had found in some lost and found thing. My hair was crooked. Everything was crooked. So I leaned on the back of the wall like this. What's up? What's up? I wouldn't lean straight because if I did, it was still going. So I like that. What's up? Even my smile was crooked. Yeah. Everything was about me and the predecessors, thank God for them. They saw the little girl with the high top fade and the runned over shoes. And they saw a light in me that I couldn't see because it had long in my mind been extinguished. There's a committee that lives between these 2 ears. It's called the Itty Bitty Shit Committee. And what the committee do, it just sits there all day churning out programs and plans and different types of things that are all totally self-will that will never work. But the committee don't take a break. So the committee told me I didn't belong here with you hugging people. But I stayed for a little while because y'all told me beyond my wildest dreams. I thought that meant conscious sex. I'll be conscious and we have sex. I love it. So I saw all you hugging. Now we're talking about from the perspective of a child. I'm watching you greet each other and laugh and smile. And I'm wondering, can I fit in here or am I always going to be ostracized? See, I've never been a small girl. I'm sorry. If that's your story, crack lied to me. On the streets, they told me, girl, you're going to draw up. I was waiting for the draw and the up. Ain't none of that happened. We were stealing food, yes. But those other people that were with me, as we call them, our friends, they sold theirs and smoked it. I ate mine. So I just like, I'm sorry. I was missing the whole point of stealing. I ate it. So when I got clean, I was gray and big. So I got in here and I saw you all, you hugging people. Men were hugging men and women were hugging women. I said, it's a gay rights convention. I'm going to charge the women extra because I hadn't had none of them yet. So they was on my list to do. And I watched you. Now, newcomers, here we go. I'm a little girl in a room full of strangers. My disease is only under arrest. As long as I don't use. Understand, it can make bail at any time. Let something go off. I'm sorry, street sense don't go nowhere. It's just only under arrest. What happens in recovery as you start on this journey, common sense steps in and you get a spiritual sense. But you will always have street sense. So I'm watching you, you watching me, we watching each other. What's up? What's up? And I'm sitting in here, and I'm starting to go through. I got to go fast. I know. How much time I got, girl?
I'm good.
Okay, I'm good. All right, so I have to watch all y'all. And y'all watching me. Here's a transformation from a little girl. November 15th, 1986. My color came back. I had my press-on nails. They popped off. Y'all showed me how to stick the glue back on. I had a Mrs. T starter kit that turned my neck green. A predecessor showed me how to put clear polish on it. I got weeds for every day of the week because you never know if you want to be bald or long, whatever. I'm fine, man. I went in the store. The security guard didn't follow me. I was following him. I wanted to show him I got a receipt. See, I got one. I came to a meeting and asked him for a dictionary. I had sold my watch my mother had gave to me. So that was like on my list of things to do. Other than stay clean for that day, it was on my list of things to do. The little girl wants to be taken care of. I still saw through a child's eyes. I want the material. Let me say something for y'all. I'm not going to forget. I probably won't forget, but that's all right. Newcomers, when we old-timers, predecessors, whatever you want to call us, dinosaurs, say to you, recovery is an inside job. Predecessors, old-timers, me, Glendora, whoever, you got to remember, when a newcomer looks in the mirror, they don't see the inside. Allow them their weaves, press on nails, box haircuts, whatever, until they find a point of comfort and an understanding of this program for themselves. They'll go on the inside. Be there for them, though, for the transformation. Don't judge. Fan the flames of desire. Don't dampen it. So I changed the outside. The little girl was growing up. I would go to the store at Macy's and I would put on the stuff you put on the amylation and the foundation stuff. I don't know what it was. I don't wear makeup, but I had big lipsticks all around here, but that was always the little girl. She was growing up. Predecessors took me to the mall. They didn't even, I'm telling you, they were so smooth with it. They were so smooth, you couldn't even know it was coming. She said, baby, I think you look so pretty with a dress on, because my booty was hanging out a little bit. She said, that would be really nice. Bring it down a little bit down here and pull this up. And I'm like, up, down, up. She was helping me. But she was teaching the little girl how to dress. And I started making meetings, and I got a home group, and I got a sponsor. I got involved in service. How do you say it? As a newcomer, I get involved in service. I got a chair, and I set my ass in. I was a chairperson. I got the literature, and I started reading the literature. I started making meetings, 90, 90, 90, 90. I didn't keep count back then. I just made meetings. I would read wherever I was, and I would start talking the language to my poor mother who didn't know no better. God is good. Just we turn it over, and we're powerless. As you know, we turn it over. My mom was like, whatever. My pocketbook is here. Keep going. So I understood. The little girl was growing up and mommy was seeing me grow up. Every anniversary, my mother was there. Every anniversary, my mother sat on the front row. One year, she wanted to stand up. My mother don't really understand the religious / spirituality of this program. She wanted to sit up there and sing, Jesus love me. I said, mama, I don't think it's the right time. You know, so we in there and I'm growing up. But I know you can identify with this. When a child is in school all day long, you give him a moment of recess. And you let him out in the yard, and he usually go, buck wild, freedom. And that's what happens to us as recovering addicts. We've been held so long in the grips of a continuous and progressive illness that when we get in these rooms and we start getting color and little perms and some nice clothes, we get a recess, we think. So we start wanting to taste all the candy. Damn the candy. Damn. My flavor was chocolate with nuts. So the little girl started going around the candy shops. I'm gonna take you to the candy shop. I'm going to every meeting and I'm picking my flavor. And the little girl said, this is a good one. He's coconut. Let's go. Let's get him. And I started sleeping with you and sleeping with you. Again, remember the little girl. Don't forget my story. In the back, I was a little girl who believed love came through the vagina. So if you entered my body, we were a whole committed crew. We were one. Only problem is most times you didn't get the memo. So I've been feeling this, and I've talked about this before. So this ain't nothing new. I went through so many of you, and what happened was at some point you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And you gotta sit still, whether you on a third step, seventh step, or 11th step, and talk to the God of your understanding and ask him some questions. And one of the greatest questions I've asked him recently, God, am I an option or a priority? And I wanna break it down for you so when you walk away from me, you remember Glendora B said this. And being an option, you will sit around and wait for somebody to call you. You will keep checking your phone, and if anybody, a friend, a foe, family member call, you don't want to hear from them because right now you're on standby for this person. You will find yourself doing things that are not conducive to your spiritual growth just to be with that person. Babies, you are an option. When you find yourself saying things and doing stuff like back home that you would not encourage your children to do. When you find yourself, like, not wanting to live because this person hasn't called you in a couple of days. When you find yourself holding meetings hostage for hours because this person you knew was in a relationship now decides he's out of the relationship but he's with somebody else. Baby, you are the option. And I'm sat around waiting for you to choose and pick me. I was standing in line with every other female and male waiting for my turn. Babies, realize what you're being called, baby. You are called to what? Option. And when you sit down there and you get tired of being sick and tired, when you start looking around your own life, fourth, fifth step, tenth step, and you start seeing the times when you wanted to go to the ballet or the basketball game, and you find yourself saying, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want them to know, like, I really don't want to be with them. It's not that you don't want to be with them. You have a life. They have a life. Some reason y'all ain't coming together. You choose to not do what you want to do because you want to make them happy. My fear is, like, if I let you know how much I really care about you, how much I really want you to be in my life, I'm afraid you're going to think I'm too holdy, too needy, so I won't say it. I stuff it down. And when you come over on those nights when I get a chance to have you on your schedule, then, and I lay there with my legs open, hoping you will enter my heart, again, I've set myself up as a what? Option. So I'm looking around, I'm looking at my life, and I'm saying to myself, Glendora, if you got this loving God on the third step and you turn your will and your life over, and you've given God everything you got. I've been married, been divorced, had a baby, lost a baby. I've done some stuff. When a guy says to you, I'll maybe see you 3 weeks from now on Tuesday at 7:30, you have your underwear all be ready. You can't cry victim when you already stood in line to be victimized. And then we get mad because it's not, we do all the little gift giving and we remember, okay, this holiday ain't mine, it's hers, and I gotta understand that and be open-minded to it. No. So I dive back into my step work. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for seeing that I'm just not an option no more. And I started doing some work. I mean, let me hit you up with what a priority does. When I say to you, I want to be with you, and you get that funny look and that funny face, you start making excuses. What a priority does is they have a backup plan. What a priority does is in the game of sex, and this, I know you probably ain't in the basic sex, but I'm going to go here. I don't care. A priority in the game of sex, you're doing whatever you do, whatever you do. And you say to them, look, excuse me, can I raise my hand here? You've heard of foreplay. It's not one play, just you play. We all play. What's up? As a priority, my step work comes first. God comes before all of that. My connection with God has nothing to do with you. It's my journey I go on. So I can't get uncomfortable with my thong on and not pray because you're here. That means I'm back in option. No, I am a priority. God is a priority. My home group is a priority. Tell myself I can't make my home group because tonight I happen to be on your list of things to do. No, that's not a priority. A priority stands firm. Even though sometimes you feel so alone, a priority stands up for what you and A may not see. I know what God's making for me is coming. I know it. Y'all say, God, Glenn, you've been single for so long. Are you gay or straight? Y'all get into some deep stuff that ain't got nothing to do with what Glendora's doing. This is what I believe. God created me as I am. My name is Glendora Bellamy. I'm 52 years of age. I know I'm overweight. Ain't no surprise. I seen it in the mirror. I got diabetes and a bad knee. I got with a young boy a couple of years last year. He was 40-something, and I'm 50-something. I thought I heard y'all share about get the young thing. I got him, and while we was in, he was doing something called a frog and a mule, and he jumped on me. So I said to him, I said, excuse me, sir, did you hear that noise? And he said, yes, I heard. I said, I will go investigate. And when I went to stand up, when he had did the frog and jumped on me, he had, my hip had popped out of place. So I know some things ain't meant for me. That's being a priority, knowing your limits. In my state of feeling like a priority in people's lives, in my own life. I take myself to the doctor because my health is a priority. I feel a lump. I don't wait for it to fall off before I say, you know something, I could have done something about that. No, I am a priority. When my mooka mooka kooky kooky, y'all call y'all vaginas every name in the world. But when that starts smelling not right, I take it to a doctor. Something ain't right. Priority said, get your teeth fixed. Look, I got to get them all out. Maybe in 2 months, y'all may see me in maybe a pumpkin kind of situation. But my teeth are my priority. So I'm making my home group. I'm calling my sponsor, Kathy. Thank you for putting me on the steps, helping me grow up. You see, this little girl ain't taking no shorts today. Because well, let me say something to you as I shut it down. I can't sit around and wait for you to call me. I can't change my day because you had a bad day and I had a good one. Sorry. I'm sorry about your bad day. I got to keep it moving. I can't hang around negative people that don't feed my spirit. Because then I become an option. My name is Glendora. I no longer take shorts. No, I ain't got a man in my bed, but I got a God in my heart. Thanks for letting me share. I'm done. Fuck.
We thank Glendora B. from Philly for sharing, and I'm gonna keep this thing moving. I'm gonna keep it moving, guys. At this